here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Shelley, for the opportunity to preach. I'm very excited to be preaching this morning. We just read Ephesians chapter number 4, and before we get back into this chapter, I'll have a little bit of a longer intro this morning, but the title of my sermon this morning is Road Rage. Road Rage. And you're thinking, what? This is kind of a weird thing to preach about. Well, really, the sermon is just going to be about anger, about the biblical doctrine of anger, what the Bible has to say about anger and rage and wrath and all these things. But it's kind of funny, when I moved to Texas, as soon as you drive into the state of Texas, you see this big sign that says, drive friendly the Texas way. And you know, like when you tell your kids, like, hey, be nice to your sibling, it's because they're not being nice to their sibling. So I kind of looked at that sign, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. They're saying, hey, we got to drive nice. Because I've noticed since I've lived here that road rage is a serious problem in Texas. And has anyone else noticed that? Lots of road rage here. This is not just my opinion or my own personal experience, because I actually have data to back this up. I looked this up. I was wondering, is this just my experience? Am I just crazy? Or is this a real problem? And it is a big problem in Texas. And, you know, judgment begins at the house of God. So let's just talk about it here. But basically what I did was I just Googled Texas road rage shooting, Texas road rage incident. And I just took the article titles from 2023, and we're in March, we're in the first quarter of 2023, so this is just, I'm just going to read you the titles of these articles of all the Texas road raging shooting incidents that's happened just in 2023, okay? Let me just read some of these for you. I do have a little bit of echo, I don't know if you guys can fix that. January 9th, 2023, this title says, man taken to hospital after road rage shooting on Central Expressway, police say. Excuse me. January 10th, Fort Worth police searching for suspects in road rage shooting. January 12th, family of young Austin mother killed in road rage attack asks for help identifying shooter. January 17th, Houston, fatal road rage shooting of 17-year-old results in 30-year sentence. January 23rd, man says he was knocked out and needed stitches after road rage punch near Willowbrook Mall. January 25th, suspect in deadly Dallas road rage shooting identified. February 5th, Texas road rage incident ends violently with one man stabbed in the chest. February 11th, man charged, allegedly killed motorcyclists in road rage shooting near Home Depot in Spring, Texas. February 13th, man charged with murder in connection with deadly road rage shooting last month. February 17th, driver shot during possible road rage incident following crash in Bel Air. February 26th, passenger shot in possible road rage incident, San Antonio police say. March 2nd, one person cut in Fort Worth road rage incident, police say. March 7th, road rage shooting victim, quote, I have no idea what I did to set them off, end quote. March 10th, motorcyclist killed in suspected road rage crash in Wise County. March 21st, arrest made in road rage incident that killed motorcycle rider in Rome. March 21st, again the same day, Dallas police investigating after woman killed in road rage shooting. March 25th, just a couple days ago, or is that yesterday? That was yesterday, okay. March 25th, Chester County man wanted in connection with road rage incident in West Chester. So that's a lot. That's pretty crazy. That pretty much every other day it seems like there's like a road rage stabbing or shooting or assault or just something crazy happening. And I thought, well, maybe it's just because there's such a large population in this state that you just have a lot of these incidents. But listen to this statistic. This is actually referring to 2022. It says San Antonio, so just the city of San Antonio, saw as many fatal road rage shootings as 40 other states. Wow. Just the city of San Antonio. So road rage here is just unbelievable. In fact, just a few weeks ago on my way back from church on a Wednesday night, I witnessed a road rage crash. People flipping each other off, trying to get in front. Next thing you know, they're spinning and crashing against the wall. I've told the story before about in Houston, how a guy tried to literally kill me in a road rage incident. A church member here showed me last week, they had dash cam footage of, they were driving in Arlington and they saw a man get out of his car in a road rage incident, walk up to another person's window, and this person was smart. The church member drove like into a parking lot to get his family away, and he said as he was turning, he heard gunshots. So like this is happening all the time. It's happening in broad daylight. You know, the Bible says that perilous times shall come. Crime is skyrocketing. You know, people say that our prisons are overpopulated, and, you know, I would agree that there's many charges that shouldn't exist. There's many laws that are not biblical. But when it comes to major things like murder, rape, assault, burglary, all these things, there's something called a clearance rate, which is basically the rate at which law enforcement solves crimes. So let's say that there's 100 reported murders and police only solve 50% of those, then the clearance rate is 50%. Well, if you look up the clearance rate for a murder in the United States, it's like 50%. And for many other very large crimes, it's even less than that. So actually, the people in jail is just a small fraction of the people that have committed these crimes. So crime right now is just exploding right under our noses, and the statistics aren't necessarily reflecting that accurately. And so, but really the thing is, it's not a political problem, it's a spiritual issue. All of this violence, all of this anger, it really is a spiritual issue. And so what I want to preach about this morning is basically just an overview of what the Bible says about anger. Because what's happening with all these road rage shootings and incidents, it's people that are just full of wrath, full of anger, so much so that they're going to go kill someone over something so stupid. And so I have four statements this morning. If you want to write these down, you can. Number one, anger is not inherently sinful. Anger is not inherently sinful. And I'm going to be, you know, talking negatively about anger this morning, but I don't want you to get the wrong idea that I'm just saying anger is always wrong or that you should never be angry. There's never a time to be angry. That's not true. Anger in itself is not inherently sinful. You're there in Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse 26. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So according to the Bible, it is possible to be angry and to not sin. There's some things that are just inherently sinful. The Bible can never say, hey, blaspheme and sin not. That's not possible because blaspheming is inherently sinful. You know, commit fornication and sin not. That's impossible. Fornication is just always sinful. It's inherently sinful. But being angry is not inherently sinful. It depends on the context. It depends on why you're angry or how you're responding to that anger. And also, go ahead and go to John chapter number 3. I'll read for you Psalm chapter number 7, verse 11. The Bible says, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." It's impossible for anger to be a sin because God is angry every single day. Every single day, God is angry with the wicked. And there's a lot of preachers, the new evangelicals, the NIV rock and roll type churches, where they want to make Jesus to be this hippie that's just cool with anything. He's never mad. He's the Jesus of the chosen who's just always super chill. And, you know, the Jesus of the chosen that's like making fun of John the Baptist for being a hard preacher. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is angry every single day with the wicked. And, you know, we should be too. Anything that makes God angry, you have 100% a free license to be angry about that as well. Amen. Because it's never a sin, whatever God is angry about. John chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." According to the Bible, if you're not saved, God's wrath is just placed on top of you, and he is ready at the moment you die to send your soul to hell for all of eternity. Now, of course, God also is merciful, so we have to balance these things. God is loving, he's merciful, and he wants people to get saved. But while someone is not saved, he's angry with them. He's angry with them that they have not chosen to believe the free gift of salvation that he's offered to them freely by giving us his son to die on the cross. He's mad that they've rejected that, and he's ready to send them to hell. And if they die without believing in Christ, that's exactly where they'll go immediately. Go to Exodus chapter number 16. I'll show you some other incidents of justified anger in the Bible. Exodus 16. So just to give you some context of this chapter, it's talking about the manna from heaven. And if you remember, when God gave the manna, they were supposed to eat all of it, and they weren't supposed to hoard any for the next day. God wanted them to trust in him, and so he didn't want them just holding all the manna back and being preppers and just trying to like keep a store of it in case, oh man, God might not come through for me tomorrow, right? He told them to eat it all. Look at Exodus 16, verse 19. It says, "And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. and it bred worms and stank. And notice, and Moses was wroth with them. Moses, wroth is just the past tense form of wrath. He's so angry, he has wrath, that they decided not to obey God's word. And you know, of course, sin should always make us angry. When people break God's commandments, when we break God's commandments, that should make us angry. We should be ready to take vengeance on every act of disobedience, right, that we do against God. We should be angry about sin. That's a completely justified anger. That's an anger that more people should have. Go to Matthew chapter 21. You know, Jesus, when he was in the flesh, alive on this earth, he showed anger during many times of his ministry, where he was angry at people, where he was screaming and rebuking people. And we're going to see a story here where he takes it up a notch, even above screaming and just words. Matthew 21, verse 12, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." So Jesus here is so angry because God's house is supposed to be about the preaching of God's word. It's supposed to be about praying. It's supposed to be about fellowship with the believers. It's supposed to be about sending people out with the Great Commission. And what have these people, what have these Jews done? They turned it into basically an exchange house, a place where they make money, a place where they sell things, right? And that makes Jesus very angry. So much so that elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about how he literally fashioned a whip, meaning this wasn't just an explosion of anger that came out of nowhere. He said, you know what? I'm going to patiently here make a whip. I'm going to go ahead and just make this thing because I'm going to go in there and I'm going to start whipping people for buying and selling in God's house. That's how angry he was, to the point where he didn't ask them politely to stop. He just walked over to their table and just flipped it over. I mean, Jesus is so rude. I mean, isn't that so rude? That's what people would say. But no, that's actually righteous indignation. That's righteous anger, right? And if someone comes in this church and starts buying and selling things, just flip over the table, okay? Just, I don't know, maybe Pastor Shelley doesn't want that. Let him flip it over. But there's a time to have justified anger, to have righteous indignation. And I'll tell you what, America would be a better place if more people were angry at sin.
Yeah.
America would be a better place. Today, if you're angry about sin, people think you're a weirdo. People think that you're just insane for being mad of someone committing fornication. They think you're insane for being angry at divorce. They think you're insane for being angry at the LGBT takeover of our nation. But really, we need more people to be angry with sin in our nation.
Amen.
And people will attack the preachers of the new IFB and say, oh, you guys are so angry. You guys are so mean. You guys are so angry. And it's like, yeah, I am angry at sin. Yeah, I am angry at false prophets. Yeah, I am angry at false doctrine. But notice, does that anger motivate us to sin? Or does it motivate us to preach God's word? Or does it motivate us to start more churches? Or does it motivate us to go get people saved? That's what it motivates us to do. So how is that a sin? It's not. It's righteous indignation. And our country used to get mad and used to get upset by the sin and the filth, and that's not happening today. Now people are angry if you preach the Bible. Now people are angry if you're King James only. Now people are angry if you're Uganda and say, hey, let's pass a law where we put pedophiles to death. By the way, God bless Uganda.
Yeah.
God bless Uganda. So number one, I just wanted to explain that anger is not inherently sinful. But number two, the vast majority of time people get angry, it is sinful. The vast majority of the time people get angry, it is sinful. If we would be honest with ourselves, myself including, probably the last time that you got upset, it probably wasn't just because of the injustices of this world and the sin of the world. It was probably over something dumb, like someone cutting you off in traffic. Last time you got angry, it was probably because you didn't get your way at work, or you didn't get your way with your husband, or you know, you didn't get your fifth coffee of the day, right? And so you're so angry about it. You had to work 8-hour shift today instead of a 6-hour shift or something just ridiculous. The last time you got angry, it probably wasn't righteous indignation. And think about this. Is it easy or is it hard to get angry? It's very easy, right? And something that's just really easy for your flesh is usually sinful, right? If something is just really natural, really easy to your flesh, that means that it's usually sinful. And think about it. The last time you yelled at your spouse, the last time you yelled at your kids, the last time that you just freaked out, it probably was unrighteous anger. It probably was sinful anger because the majority of the time people are angry, it is sinful. Majority of time, people are angry in the Bible, it's not over something good. And let's just take a commercial break here and talk a little bit about road rage. You know, here's my tip for you when it comes to road rage is never, ever, ever escalate someone's anger on the road. Don't ever, ever escalate someone's anger on the road. Go to Roman or 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, I read to you all those articles of all those road rage shootings that have been happening in Texas. It's happening over and over and over and over again. And you want to know why a lot of this is happening? It's because both parties are riling each other up, escalating things. It's not one person backing up and just saying, hey, I'll suffer myself to be defrauded. You can cut me off. No problem. I'll forgive you. It's some, oh, you flip me off, I'll flip you off. Oh, you brake check me, I'll speed in front of you and brake check you. Oh, you want to, you know, push your car into me, I'll push my car into you, right? What does the Bible say? Look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse 9. It says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that you're thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Look, it's natural in the flesh. I'm not standing up here as some hypocrite saying I've never gotten mad at someone on the road. But as our world gets more and more dangerous, you have to be seriously careful about this. And you have to take it seriously that, hey, on the road, you should not render evil for evil. When someone flips you off, let it go. Don't worry about it. They're just trying to rile you up. Because what's the alternative? You get mad, they get mad, you cut them off, they cut you off, and next thing you know, you got bullets flying into your windshield. Oops, you probably didn't mean for that to happen. What are you going to do then when bullets are flying into your windshield? It's too late to change anything. That's why it's so stupid to engage in road rage. It is foolish. It is not something Christians should be doing. And here's another thing, especially ladies, you need a reality check that you are so vulnerable in this world. You are so vulnerable. You are so fragile. You are so weak. And if someone wanted to hurt you, they easily could. But I even see women road raging, and I'm thinking, you are a fool. Yeah, yeah. You really want to go make some random dude angry at you? You really think that you're going to be able to protect yourself? That is so foolish. Let me tell you a story. One time, I was in Vancouver, Washington. My wife and I were on our way to church for a pie fellowship, and this person was, like, speeding super fast past me or whatever, and they got mad at something I did. And they decided to brake check me in the middle of the interstate, okay? So it's like dark, it's raining, and there's cars everywhere, and this person brake checks me to a complete stop in the interstate, and they throw open the door, and you know what walks out? Like an 18 or 19-year-old chick, okay? She gets out of her car, and she stands on the interstate with cars going by her in the dark, in the rain, because she was angry at something I did. And I'm just thinking, like, this woman has no sense of reality. Because if I was just some psychotic man that just wanted to fight, I'm a man. I could snap her in two if I wanted to. I could throw her off of the interstate, right? But in her stupid mind, she thought it's a good idea to get out of a car at a man. What is wrong with people? Right? People have lost their sense of reality. Yeah. And sometimes on the road, I think people just like, they see a car and they forget that there's human beings there. Right? A lot of these incidents are people like killing motorcyclists where they just get mad at the motorcyclists and they're just like, let's just crash into them and kill them. But under what circumstance would you ever just shoot a motorcyclist in the head? You wouldn't. But for some reason, road rage just puts people under the influence. It makes them not think. And so when you ever see people road raging, you should never escalate it. You should never return evil for evil because something very bad can happen to you. And especially ladies driving by themselves, you don't ever want to be in a situation where here you are getting shot at or people are trying to open your door and get to you. That's horrible. You should not be foolish and make such a silly decision. Also, here's the best part of that story, though, is I said that we were going to a pie fellowship. Well, when we braked the car, the pie just completely smashed against my windshield. And my wife is just sobbing, you know. And I'm like, you're entering the pie. I don't care. You know, I was like, you know, the competition was based on taste, not look. And then she won the pie competition. I was like, yeah. So it was a really good pie, you know. It was hilarious. But the road rage wasn't hilarious. And I've seen road rage incidents in my life in Washington and Texas. I told you someone tried to kill me in Houston. I've told that story before. you haven't heard it, I'll tell you after the service. But go to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. I'm talking about how the majority of the time when you're angry, it's not righteous indignation, it's sinful. And these road rage incidents, it's not righteous indignation, it's sinful anger is what it is. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Why? "For the wrath of God worketh not," or "the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Notice, the Bible is generalizing man's anger and just saying, like, in a general sense, it's not the righteousness of God. Most of the time when man is angry, it's not righteous. It is sinful. And road rage is a perfect example of that. I'll read for you. Go to Proverbs 19. I'll read for you Proverbs 16:32. It says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Some people think, well, I don't care. I'll road rage all day long because I'm so tough and I'm so strong and I'm such a good fighter. If someone wants to try to fight me on the road, hey, I'll take care of it. I know for sure I'll be able to back this person down and defend myself. But you know what's better than being a good fighter? You know what's better than being a strong person? Is someone that's slow to anger. You know what's better than being a good fighter? Is someone that avoids the fight altogether. And it's way more wise for you to not try to escalate people's anger on the road than for you to just trust in your flesh, trust in your ability to defend yourself, to go fight someone for no reason. You say, oh, okay, yeah, you're really strong, but that doesn't mean you won't go to jail. Okay, so you defend yourself. Great, have fun in jail. Oh, you know, you're so strong, you're ready to beat someone up. Good luck against 9mm bullets flying at you. Was that worth it? Absolutely not. Proverbs 19, verse 11, it says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. This would be a great Bible verse to just put on your dash in the car. You know, it's your glory to pass over a transgression, right? Because let's be honest, you see driving transgressions all the time. You know, as the illegals are just flooding into America and they've never learned how to drive, hey, you see it a lot. I'm not saying there's not a reason to get angry on the road. You could find a reason anywhere, anytime, if you want to get angry. But hey, it's a glory to pass over a transgression. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. What is discretion? The definition of discretion, one of the definitions, is the power or right to decide or act according to one's own judgment, freedom of judgment, or choice. So, you know, my judgment and our good judgment should tell us that it's not a good idea to get into a road rage incident because, number one, like we said, you can get shot. You can get crashed off the road. You can get in a fight with someone. You can get on the news. You can go to jail. You can go to court. Discretion should tell you that all those things are bad. And are any of those things worth someone just cutting you off? Are any of those things worth someone just flipping you off? No. So wisdom should tell you, having good discretion should tell you that it's not a good idea to just escalate people's anger on the road. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." And I mean, one of the most foolish things I could think of is, okay, you made me angry on the road, so I'm going to kill you. That is so sick. That is so disgusting. That is so wicked. Just because you got a little upset at someone, to just say, okay, now I'm just going to shoot you. Now I'm just going to take my truck and just plow it into your motorcycle and just kill you. But that's what's happening. That's what these people are doing. What a wicked thing to do. And what a foolish thing to do, to throw your life away to murder someone in cold blood just because you got angry at them on the road. What a stupid, foolish thing to do. Go to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs 12, verse 16, the Bible says, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." You can identify a fool because they always want to tell you everything they're mad about. They're on a hair trigger, they're ready to get angry, and every little thing that annoys them, every little thing that they don't like, every little injustice, they're just ready to let you know how angry they are. And that is what a fool is. That's what these people on the road are doing. As soon as you do something bad, they're flipping you off. They're ready to hurt you. They're ready to fight you. But even outside of the road, we've all known people like this in our lives, where they're just always negative. You bring up anything and they're mad. Just no matter what the topic is, they're just ready to be angry about it. That's a foolish person.
Right.
That's a person no one wants to be around. That's a person who is toxic and who is a fool. I'll read for you Psalm 37:8 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." So we've seen the Bible over and over, it paints a negative picture of anger most of the time when man is angry. Now, if you type up anger, angry, wrath, wrath in a Bible software, you know what you're going to see it the most is God. And we already talked about his anger is always righteous. But when most of the time you're seeing man get angry, it's usually not righteous. Number three, go to Proverbs 15. Number three, people who don't learn to control their anger don't get angry, they are angry. There is a difference between a person who gets mad at something that happened and someone who just is an angry person. And there are people who they're not getting upset by their circumstances or their environment or something happened to make them mad. They're just mad all the time. They're on the road and they're wanting someone to cut them off. They're wanting someone to do something bad. They're wanting someone to look at them in a weird way so that they can fight. There's people like this where they just are angry people. And it's not that the strife stirred them up. It's that they stirred up the strife.
Yeah.
Okay. Proverbs 20, where did I tell you to go? Proverbs 15:18 says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife." Notice, it doesn't say that there was strife and so this man became wrathful. No, he was already wrathful. He was already angry. He was already mad. And so because he was angry and mad, what did he do? He stirred up strife. And this is a person who just is an angry person. They don't get angry. They are angry. That is a terrible attribute to have as a person. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. So if you want to have a bunch of problems in your life, you want to have a bunch of issues and strife and fighting and bickering, well, then just be an angry person and you'll get lots of that. And you ought to examine your life. You know, are you always fighting with your spouse? Are you always yelling at your kids? Are you always fighting with your coworkers? It's probably because one person involved just is an angry person. It's not that they got angry. It's not that something happened to make them angry. It's just they are an angry person.
Yeah.
And if you don't fix that in your life, you will have nothing but problems.
True.
You will destroy the relationships in your life. Proverbs 26, verse 21 says, "As coals are to burning coals." Think about this visual. You have coals that are already on fire, and you add coals to it. "As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Notice, there wasn't strife that made him contentious. The man's already contentious, and he wants to kindle strife. He wants to go make fires. He wants to bring his fire with him and catch everything else on fire. We've all noticed, we've all known people like this, and here's the truth. If you want a reason to be angry, you will always find it. If you want to find something to complain about, something to be unhappy about, something to just nitpick in other people that they don't do that makes you mad, you'll always find it because we're sinners. And so it's real easy to find things to make you mad, but guess what? It doesn't make you a good person to just always be angry. It makes you a fool. And it makes you someone that no one wants to be around, and it makes you someone that's always going to have strife in your life. That's obviously not a good thing. Proverbs 29:22 says this, "An angry man stirreth up strife." Notice again, the strife didn't make him angry. He was already angry. What did he do? He stirred up strife. "And a furious man," notice this, "aboundeth in transgression." People that are always angry, you know what they're doing? They're always sinning. They're always sinning with their mouth. They're always sinning with their actions. And so these furious people on the road, they're abounding in transgression, and they're ready to murder over their anger. What a sick thing. You know, and sadly, you know, some people are in marriages like this where, you know, spouse didn't do something to make them mad. They just are mad. Spouse is just always mad, always angry. There's some people where this is your parenting style. You know what? You're just angry and you're just always screaming and yelling at your kids all the time. And that is going to bring strife and transgression in your life. You're not going to have a good relationship with your spouse. You're not going to have a good relationship with your kids when you're always a wrathful, angry person. No one wants to be around that. No one ever says, man, I really love my mom and dad because they're always so angry when I was a kid. No, it's usually like, yeah, my dad abused me when I was a kid because he was such an angry drunk. And he'd hit mom and he'd hit me, right? Or same thing for domestic spousal abuse. Anger is always involved. Number four, out of control anger can destroy yourself and those around you. Out of control anger will destroy yourself and those around you. This is something that if not checked in your life, you will destroy your life if you were just an angry person. And I talked about how can you do this? You could do this through your actions, and you could do this through your words. Let's talk about actions first. Go to Genesis chapter number 4. And let's see some examples of where people just brought destruction because of anger. Genesis chapter number 4. Start reading verse 1. It says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man-child from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And notice this, and Cain was very wroth. So Cain is mad, he's super angry. And it says, and his countenance fell, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So here we have a story in the Bible where Cain, he's upset, God didn't accept his offering. And instead of responding to his anger appropriately by saying, hey, I messed up, I need to change something here, instead, what does he do? He just murders his brother in cold blood. The first murder that we see in the Bible. And where did it come from? It says that he was wroth. He was angry. And when you're angry, when you're wroth in an ungodly way, it'll cause you to be destructive. It'll cause you to destroy things in your life to where he destroyed his own brother. He killed his own brother. Go to Genesis chapter 34. Genesis chapter 34. Genesis 34, start reading in verse number 1. It says, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. So what happens? Jacob's daughter Dinah, she goes out to see the daughters of the land, and she ends up committing a grievous sin of fornication. Now let's go to verse number 7. It says, and the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Now, is this righteous anger or is this unrighteous anger? Right now, it's righteous anger. It's totally justified to be angry that your sister committed fornication, right? It's okay to be angry that someone defiled your sibling. That makes sense. But what happens in the story is they don't go about their anger in a right way, and they end up bringing destruction. Basically, what happens is they tell Shechem and his family, hey, if all of you guys get circumcised, we'll give our daughters to your men. You can give your daughters to our men. We'll share and have marriages with each other. And so all of you guys need to go get circumcised. Well, let's start reading in verse 25. It says, and it came to pass on the third day when they were sore. So Shechem and all their family, they did do it. They went and got circumcised. They were sore from it. That the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. So were they right to get angry? Yes. Were they right to go commit murder? No. And so we have to learn the proper way to deal with our anger, because even if you are angry in a justified sense, it could still lead to that just intoxicating mentality to where you just go and do stupid things, or you go and do foolish things. And this was absolutely not right, what they did. Verse 26, And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in their house. So just because your sister commits fornication, it doesn't give you a right to just go murder people, steal all their goods, plunder their city, take their wives, take their cattle, take their little ones. It doesn't give you the right to do that. And just because you've been wronged in some way in your life, that doesn't give you the right to avenge yourself. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. It's God's job to take vengeance. And of course, he's given us institutions for man to take vengeance on God's behalf in this world, like the government. And if the government did their job, they're the instrument of God's vengeance in many ways. But hey, even if you don't have that system, you still don't have the right to take things into your own hand and just avenge yourself and to right the wrongs on your own behalf. The right thing to do is, hey, to pray to God, you know, pray to God that God can work out this situation in the best way possible. Pray to God sometimes in some cases against people. You see imprecatory prayers in the Bible. There's many times it's okay to pray against people. But the answer is not just going and committing murder. The answer is not just going out and stealing things. And when people are cut off in the road and someone does something wrong to you on the road, let me tell you what, the answer is not to pull out your gun and just start shooting them. The answer is not to just take your car and just start running people over and just to run people's motorcycles onto the side of the road. That's sick. That's not right. And if it wasn't happening in such a huge scale, I'd have a hard time believing that people even do this, that you're just on the road and you're just going to kill someone for someone cutting you off. But it happens. It does happen. This is Jacob when he's about to die and he's preaching to his kids what's going to come to pass in the latter days. This is what he says of Simeon and Levi that did this grievous thing. Jacob said this, I'll read for you Genesis 49:5. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Remember that word cruelty. Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man. And in their self-will, they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So notice, Jacob is not condoning the actions of his sons. He's not saying, oh yeah, I mean, Dinah committed fornications. You guys are right in what they did. He said, no, that was cruel. That was wicked. That was outrageous. That should have never happened. He's not condoning it. He's saying this was a horrible thing that happened. Go to 1 Samuel 18. Let's look at another story where a man's anger causes him to destroy those around him. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel 18, verse number 6. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Notice Saul's reaction to this. So is Saul happy for David that he went and killed the Philistine and did something great for the Lord? No, he's envious, and this is what it says, verse 8. And Saul was very wroth. He's very angry. He's very upset. And the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more than the kingdom? And so did Saul say, you know what? David's doing better than me, so I'm just going to work harder than David now. I'm going to start killing more Philistines than David. I'm going to start doing right. Or did he try to destroy him? Let's read what happens. In verse number 9, it says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. David avoided out of his presence twice. What a bizarre story. What a weird thing to do. You would think that Saul and David would be on the same team. They're both supposed to be fighting the Lord's battles. Saul should be excited that David went out and killed Goliath. But instead, he doesn't just let that motivate him to be a better king, to be a better warrior. Instead, what does he do? He gets mad and he tries to kill David. The guy that just killed the enemy of the Lord, The guy that's doing God's work, he literally tries to kill him. Can you see now the intoxicating effect of anger on someone? To where you'd be literally willing to kill your brother in Christ, willing to kill your fellow soldier who's doing nothing but good for God's kingdom. You're willing to kill him or attempt to kill him because of anger. It goes to show how dangerous anger can be and how destructive it can be and how careful you have to be, because it leads people to do just insane things. But another way anger can bring destruction is by your words. Go to James chapter number 3. I'll read for you Proverbs 27:4. It says, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" Notice the Bible keeps saying that their wrath was cruel. It was cruel. Proverbs is saying their wrath is cruel. And another thing that happens when people get really angry is they say some of the cruelest things in their life. Some of just the most mean, hurtful words that people have ever said have been when they're angry. And this will bring destruction in your life. This will bring destruction in your marriage. This will bring destruction in your relationship with your parents, in your relationship with your children, because of the things that you say. You know, you can say things that can hurt people. You absolutely can. And you don't have just a free license to just say whatever you want to say. That is not what the Bible teaches. People see preachers getting up screaming and yelling and saying things that are extreme because they're preaching the Bible. But let me tell you, that's generally not the best way to act with people in your life. I'm just going to tell you that right now. James 3, verse 5 says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." This doesn't sound very positive. The Bible's not really painting a good picture of what your tongue can do. Verse 7, "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." And there have been many relationships in this world that have been absolutely irreparably destroyed by the things that people say to each other. And you need to be really careful when you're mad, when you're fighting with someone, to not be cruel with your tongue. Just because you're upset, it doesn't give you the right to be cruel to someone. It doesn't give you the right to be cruel to your spouse. It doesn't give you the right to be cruel to your kids. You don't want to be known to your kids as just that parent that was just always screaming and yelling and always calling them names and always saying things to them. Of course, children are supposed to be under obedience completely to our parents. That doesn't mean you should be mean to your kids. I don't think it's cool to just call your kids a bunch of names and to treat them like they're your dogs or something like that. I don't think that makes you cool. I don't think that makes you look like you're such a tough, authoritarian parent. I think it makes you look like a fool, actually. Yep, right. Because what you're doing is you're being cruel. You're cutting them down with your tongue, and you're destroying relationships in your life. Amen. And hey, you should care a lot about your relationship with your spouse. You should care a lot about your relationship with your kids. And you should not get the short times of your life that you get angry to just cause lifelong devastation to your relationships. Because there are things that you can say that can cut people down forever. And you need to be very careful with your tongue. I'll read for you Proverbs 21, verse 19. The Bible is very clear about this. It says, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." Okay? When spouses are fighting and the wife is real contentious and she's real angry and she's yelling at her husband and she's calling him names, you know what the husband's not thinking? You know, my wife has some good points. She might be right about that. You know what he's thinking? When can I move to Alaska? I'd rather deal with a grizzly bear. I'd rather deal with a pack of wolves than dealing with the angry and contentious wife. That's what the Bible says here. And notice, the Bible doesn't say it'll seem better to dwell in the wilderness. It says it is better. Right? So you ladies that think, oh, you know, I don't understand why my husband, you know, we're having issues in our marriage. I constantly tell him what he's doing wrong. I constantly tell him how he can become a better husband. I don't understand why he's not getting this. It's like, you're just going to drive him to Alaska. You're going to ruin your marriage. You will never, as a woman, ever make your marriage better by being angry at your husband. You will never make your marriage better by being contentious against your husband. You will only destroy your marriage. The Bible says that women are to be obedient to their husbands in all things. Okay? And that also doesn't give men a license to be cruel to their wives.
Yep.
That doesn't give men a license to be jerks to their wives. Right. But I'm just telling you, the Bible paints the picture that usually it's the angry and contentious woman that's causing the issues. Because usually men are pretty chill. They're just like, oh, whatever. You know, they're not worried. They don't really want to spend the energy on fighting, right? But the woman, she wants to be contentious and angry. But look, that's your sin nature. That's not good. Remember what I said? When things come natural to you, it's probably bad. You need to check your anger because you can destroy your marriage by being cruel with your tongue, by being angry with your spouse, by being contentious with your spouse. You could drive him to the wilderness. And it doesn't say that he'll think that it's better. It says that it actually is better, okay? So God is very clear about that. Proverbs 22:24 says, go to Colossians 3 while I read this. Colossians 3, I'll read for you. Proverbs 22, verse 24, it says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Notice, you could also destroy the relationships with your friends by being someone that's just always angry and contentious, because the Bible says, hey, don't make friendship with an angry man. And there's been people in my life where I've thought, hey, you know, I love you, you're my brother in Christ, I hope the best for you, but I've thought, like, I just shouldn't be close to this person, I shouldn't be very close friends with this person, because they're just so angry all the time, and just because they're so contentious. And the Bible makes it clear, hey, make no friendship with an angry man. You shouldn't be around people like that because it's going to drag you down. It's going to turn you into that same person. And you don't want to destroy the relationships in your life. You don't want to get into these crazy situations with road rage and all the negative that could happen in your life because of anger. Colossians 3, verse 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, one of the most weighty responsibilities that you'll ever have in your life, and one of the biggest blessings from God, just one of the greatest honors in life that God has ever given us, is being a father. And, you know, there's a lot of things in my life that I want to do really well on. I want to be a good employee. I want to be a good preacher. I want to be good at a lot of things in my life. But one of the most important things that I want to be said of me when I die is that I was a good dad. And it's such a heavy responsibility because the Bible says that you, dad, can provoke your child to anger and you can be the cause of their discouragement. That's a very heavy thought to think about. To think about God looking down from heaven and saying, you want to know why your son and your daughter is discouraged in the things of the Lord? You want to know why they're not excited about church? You want to know why they have a negative view of Christianity in the Bible? It's because you were a jerk, dad. Because you provoke them to anger and you discourage them. That's a heavy thought to think about. And so as dads, you know, we are the primary disciplinarian, right? We're supposed to be disciplining our kids and teaching them. And yeah, you know, we should be tough on them, especially compared to how the world is as parents, right? But you don't want to be so over the top that you discourage your kids. They're still kids. They're still just kids. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Kids are going to do foolish things all the time. It's just your job to discipline them and correct them and move on. That's it. It's not to just be angry at them all the time and to scream at them and to call them stupid and call them idiots and to call them worthless and to call them all these mean names. That's not your job. And you know what? If you discourage your kids, God will judge you for that. If your kids don't end up loving the Lord because of your authoritarian style as a dad, God's going to hold you responsible for that. And you should take that extremely seriously. So like I said, you know, anger can destroy the relationships in your lives. It can destroy people's lives, literally. And really quickly, I'm just going to talk about for the rest of the sermon how we can control our anger. Really, this should be a whole different sermon, but I don't want to leave you guys with nothing. So go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. You know, we talked about basically just the doctrine of anger in the Bible, what the Bible has to say about anger. But let me just give you quickly a couple things you could do to help you control your anger. And number one, you're there in Proverbs 27. The number one way you can help control your anger is to confront and rebuke the person making you angry. And that sounds weird. You're like, What rebuke? Here's the thing. Rebuke doesn't always have to be swinging from the chandeliers, screaming at someone. It could just be confronting someone about an issue that they had or a transgression that they did against you and just bringing it to their attention. Okay, and look, the Bible teaches this. Proverbs 27, verse 4 says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Then look at the next verse. This is not a coincidence that these verses are next to each other. It says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You would think, why would you ever rebuke someone to deal with your anger? You're just going to lash out at them and scream at them and call them names. Not according to the Bible. These verses are right next to each other for a reason. They're connected. Hey, you want to deal with your anger, just go up to the person that's making you mad, that did something to you, and just say, hey, you wronged me in this way, and I'm upset about it. And that does a couple things. It gives them the chance to repent and get right and to restore relationship with you, which most of the time, especially amongst Christian brethren, that's going to happen. People are most likely going to be humble and just take the rebuke and say, hey, sorry I offended you. And then you gain your brother, right? And that also allows you to get rid of the anger that you have. Because when situations get resolved, obviously, you have less anger, right? Another option you have is to forgive. I'll read for you Matthew 6, 9. It says, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so one thing you can do when you're angry, when someone does something wrong to you, you can just choose to forgive that person, whether they apologize for it or not. And if you think about a lot of the situations in our life that we get angry about, it's probably just small things. It's probably just menial things that you could just probably just let go and forget about. And if you can't, hey, then talk to the person, confront them, rebuke them. But a lot of times it's just so much easier to just forgive someone, to just let it go. And I didn't say, you know, harbor it up in bitterness and not actually forget them. It's actually forgive and forget them. That's one way you can deal with anger as well. Another thing, go to Galatians chapter 5. Another thing that could help you is to just be filled with the Spirit more often. Being filled with the Spirit more often is going to help you not to be just an angry person. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these, notice, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, and notice this, wrath. So one of the works of the flesh is wrath, being angry. But look at verse 16 again. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Think about this. These people in these road rage shootings that are going out and shooting people and crashing their vehicle into people and stabbing people and beating people up. Do you think that these are people that woke up in the morning and read their King James Bible, prayed to God, and was singing hymns on their way to work?
No.
Or do you think these are people that are walking in the flesh? So here's the thing. If you start your day, you read the Word of God, you get prayed up, you're singing hymns to the Lord, and someone cuts you off, you know what you might do? You'd be like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to give place to wrath. I'm going to forgive this person. I'm not going to render evil for evil. That's most likely going to be your attitude. But when you're so in the flesh, and you're angry, and you're just wanting someone to cut you off, you're in the flesh, you're going to be a lot more likely to get angry and to get into these situations. So, and like Pastor Shelley always says, it's not hard to know what to do. It's hard to do it. Right? You want to avoid being in a road rage incident? Here you go. Read the Bible every day, pray every day, and sing hymns to God, and you're probably not going to be on the side of the road stabbing someone in the chest anytime soon. Just my guess, right? It sounds like, oh, that's too simple. I mean, no, it's true. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I just wanted to preach this because I've noticed a lot of anger in our society. Notice a lot of people in the flesh. I also wanted to give you some practical tips on road rage to not be escalating people, because I would hate to hear about something bad ever happening to someone in this church. I hope this sermon could help you also just to be a less angry person, to walk in the spirit, and just to reduce conflict and strife in your life. And with that, let's end in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God that gives us instruction on every area of our life. I pray that every single person in here would work on controlling their anger, would work on just walking in the spirit, and that you would just protect our church, our families during these perilous times, and that you just bless our church. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, in closing, let's go to song number 41. Song number 41. Let me go there myself. Song number 41, Sweet By and By. Song number 41. Everybody singing out together on the first. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall